Amen. Listen, it would be really hard for me to talk without a microphone. You know what I mean? Not because of loudness or sound. I would not know what to do with my hand. I guess I do it in Sunday school. I don't know. It'd be different. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to say I really do appreciate our ministry and our church. Amen? Yes. Amen. I really do. Those guys are awesome. Amen. And the ladies, too. Man, we've got an awesome group of people. We really do. And I tell everybody that. Ephesians chapter 1, we're working our way through the book of Ephesians. This Jason told me that Sunday, he taught Sunday school, and I thought I was bad. But he said he got verse 1, right? So he got through verse 1. So I get to start on verse 2 this Sunday. So, and I thought I was bad, but one verse. But, man, sometimes it's just so good you can't get past it. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ." You can go ahead and be seated. Ephesians is amazing. Of course, so is Romans, and so is Corinthians, and so the Bible is just amazing. But he's talking to us, Sam, about something, and I don't know how we didn't shout out of our shoes on verse 7. I read through that, and I tried to make it sound as boring as I could so you wouldn't get excited. But let's go back to verse 7 and read that again and get what this is saying. In whom we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. See, when I read it the first time, you was just kind of like, but man, when you really listen to what this is saying, first of all, who's it talking about? It's talking about us, right? We have redemption. We have redemption. Look at the person beside you and say, "I have redemption." Now, what you said was one of the most beautiful things you could say on this planet. I have redemption. I'm not trying to obtain redemption. I'm not trying to get this redemption. We have redemption. We possess it now. Now, the we is us. Despite what some people may tell you, I remember having this debate with a boss of mine one time. He said, "We're all God's children." And I said, "No, we're not." And he said, "Oh, yeah, the whole world. We're all God's children. He created us all." I said, "No, we are not all God's children." And we kept going back and forth and back and forth. And he got the idea from a Catholic priest that we were all God's children. And finally I said, "We're not all God's children. There are some people who are of their father, the devil. And they are not God's children." So when we say we have redemption, we're not talking about everybody on the planet. We're talking about those who have been washed in his blood, filled with his spirit, and believe his gospel. Can you say amen? That's who we're talking about. We're talking about us. We have redemption. Redemption, if you look the word redemption up, the Webster's Dictionary says the act of redeeming, and that bothers me. Because if I look up painter and it says the act of painting, that doesn't help me out a whole lot. But if you look, he says the act of redeeming. If you looked up the word redeeming in the Webster's Dictionary, it says serving to offset or compensate for a defect. The example it gave was the only redeeming quality of this job is the benefits. So to offset a defect is redemption. If you look it up in a Bible dictionary, the meaning begins to change a little. And if you look at it, it'll say to release from by payment, to liberate through ransom, to set free through payment. Redemption is an accounting term. You have to redeem the things. And to redeem something, a payment has to be made. So for something to be redeemed, it has to be paid for. To be liberated, there must be a payment that is made. So if you are in bondage, which we were all in bondage, because all have sinned, all have came short of the glory of God, the only way that you were liberated from your bondage is somebody had to make a payment. The only way you'll ever be redeemed is through a payment. Amen. Illustration. Stand up, Johnny. Put your hand behind your back. In bondage. I can tell him. I can preach to him. I can scold him. I can get mad at him. I can drag him to the altar and make him pray. We can do a lot of things, but as long as he's still in bondage, there's no way he can get free on his own. The Bible says that we have redemption. How do we have redemption? He says, in whom? In whom we have redemption. What is it talking about? Who is it talking about? It's talking about in him. Notice the way Paul does this. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The word riches there is extremely important because there's a payment that needs to be made so that we can be redeemed. Amen. So he comes along. Stand up. I should have got Tracy to do this. Where's she at? Yeah, come here. You do this. Sit down, Sam. Sorry. Why her? Because this is my cash. So the payment has to be made for him. He can't make the payment because he doesn't have anything to make the payment with. But in whom we have redemption. So I know this is simple, but it's going to get better. Jesus comes along and he makes the payment for you. You are released through this payment. The payment is made for your liberation. So now you are free because he made the payment that was due. That man, this is shouting ground. This should motivate our worship because you were in bondage and you couldn't pay the fee, but he paid it for you and now you stand redeemed. Thank you. You can keep it. So now you're free. We have redemption in him, in whom, oh man, this is so good because we've been redeemed in him. Through his blood. Now, let's back up a couple of verses. Y'all want to? Y'all remember this? Let's back up. Shane, if you would, take me to verse. Keep going. Let's start at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? With what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, watch this. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So this is the foreknowledge of God. Before there was ever a sin, there was already a cure for sin. Because this was before the foundation of the world. And I want to praise him all the way back through eternity to where he came up with the idea he was going to redeem me. So according, he does this that we should be what? Holy, without blame, before him in love. Remember this. We want to skip past this, but to be a Christian still has something to do with being holy. Try that again. You can't go to heaven unless you're holy. It's not an option. Do I have to be holy to go to heaven? No, you just got to be saved. You can't be saved unless you're saved unto holiness. He says, this is why he chose us, that we could be holy without blame before him in love. He did that before the world even started. Man, this is good. Watch this. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Let me serve you notice. Your redemption was not about you. It was about him. Your redemption was not bought by you. It was bought for you by him. Your liberation was not purchased by you. It was purchased by him and given to you. So now you are free by the redemption that he paid for you. Yeah, preacher, we know that. We know that. We need to serve notice to our life that we know that. According to the good pleasure of his will. You know whose idea this was? His idea. You know whose idea it was to save you? His idea. You know who wanted to save you? He wanted to save you. You know who wanted to pay the price for you? He wanted to pay the price for you. You didn't want any part of him, if you're honest. Amen. You ran from the calling. He convicted you and you hid from it. And still he still drew and he still called until one day you surrendered and now you're his. And let me tell you this, if he bought you, you're his forever. Oh, it makes you nervous, don't it? He didn't rent you, he bought you. He doesn't have you on layaway and he's not making payments. I'm telling you, he purchased you with his own blood and now you belong to him, not for just a moment, but through all eternity. Man, that excites me to know. Having predestinated us to adoption of children to himself. You don't get to pick your kids, do you? Did you pick that? He just showed up, didn't he? It's okay. You don't get to pick your parents either. But in adoption is different. You get to choose the kid that you want to adopt. This is the grace of God. You just didn't show up and was forced on him. He purposely went after you and paid for you to adopt you into his family. All right, verse 6. I can't leave this one out, and then we'll get back. To the praise of the glory of his grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted into the beloved. I want to teach you something. I was taught this my whole life, sitting in churches, and these preachers would say things, and preachers say things that scare me sometimes. They told me this, all you have to do is accept Jesus into your heart. And for years, I believed that it was up to me just to accept him or reject him. It was completely on me. But then I read a scripture. By the way, I just want to let you know, there is not one scripture in the Bible that says you accept Jesus into your heart. That bothers you, don't it? It did me too. So I'm glad I'm here to make you miserable too. Because I've said in churches, just accept Jesus into your heart. And I was like, that's it. Accept Jesus. Then I realized that there's not one scripture in the Bible that says accept Jesus into your heart. But there is one that says he hath made us accepted into the beloved. Oh. So here I am thinking the whole time I had to accept him. And the truth is he had to accept me in. This makes it so much better, y'all. Why does it make it better? Because I'm sitting there thinking, this is completely on me. And he's saying, I bought you. I paid for you. I gave you the faith to believe it. I'm calling you. I'm the one that paid the ransom. I'm the one that purchased you. I'm accepting you into the beloved. Are you with me? So all this, well, just accept him into your heart. If he's not drawing you, you ain't coming. Keep going. He's accepted us into what? Back up to the praise of the glory of his grace. To the praise. This is the goal. This is the goal of our redemption. What is the goal of our redemption? To bring praise. To bring praise of the glory of his grace. To bring praise to the glory of his grace. What does God want me to do? He wants you to praise him. He wants you to worship him. He wants you to devote your life to him. Why? Because of the grace that he bestowed upon you. Stand up, put your hands behind your back. You're bound. Come here, Tracy. Check this out. I'm paying the price for you. Now you're free. Stand up. Come on. You're free. Stand up. You're free. Anybody want to stand up? Hey, wait, I thought you was already free. All right, let me tell y'all about backsliding. Let me tell y'all this. Here's the point. Now, eventually, and not very long from now, so he's. Now watch this. I'm going to run out very soon. But let me show you something about the mercy of God. Thank you. What's awesome about, thank you. Yeah, thank you. I'm out. Let me show you something about the mercy of God. I don't care how many people stand up. God's still able to reach in and take out enough mercy to purchase them and redeem them. I don't care if multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes stand up. God will never come up short. How do you know? His mercy endureth forever. He'll never run out. He'll never, you got to hear this. This is to the praise of the glory of his grace. Back to verse 7. Watch this. Verse 7. I'm about to have a benefit. A benefit, as that one guy said. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his, I thought I was out. God ain't never out. He ain't never out. He's always, why? It's the riches of his grace. Why does he mention riches? Because there's a purchase that must be purchased, and that purchase was you. But I've got a Jesus that never runs out, that's never going to run dry. He's able to save from the uttermost to the guttermost. I don't care how deep you are, he's able to reach in and bring about his mercy. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Sam, I thank God he had a plan before the foundation of the world. But a plan without execution is just a plan, ain't it? You can come up with a plan. You ever plan to do something? And then it came around time to do it, and you came up with a lot of excuses to not do it? Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. You can make a plan. God made a plan, but he just didn't stop with a plan. We can talk about all the things that happened before the foundation of the world, and that's good. But the riches of his mercy and the redemption that we have came through his blood. It wasn't just planning to shed his blood. It was shedding his blood. So when I look to Calvary, you know what I see? I see a reason that motivates me to worship and to praise and to give my life, because it's his blood that brought about the forgiveness of sins. What is redemption? To be redeemed, to be purchased, to be released from what? Your hands were behind your back. What had you bound? Sin has us bound. I said sin has us bound. You don't need forgiveness unless you're guilty. Ain't that right? There's no reason for forgiveness unless guilt is implied. Now, once you're guilty, then you need forgiveness. Amen. Amen. If something happened to you and somebody came up to you and they said, hey, listen, I caught you stealing and you didn't steal, are you going to say, forgive me? I know what you're going to say. You say, what are you doing telling me? I didn't do it. I don't need forgiveness because I didn't do it. But this implies guilt, does it not? If there's forgiveness of sins, that means there's guilt from sin. So what we're forgiven from is of the guilt of the sins that we have committed in the past. Man, I want to talk to somebody just for a minute. Your past does not have any bearing over where you are right now. But we got an enemy that loves to bring up our past. Here's what's really awesome about it, Brother Eddie. If it was yesterday, it's in the past. But the enemy wants to bring it up over and over and over. And if he can't bring up yesterday, why am I allowing him to bring up something 10 years, 20 years ago? That's under the blood. And I stand redeemed. And I have the forgiveness of sin right now because of the blood of Jesus. Oh, man, I hope we, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Because let's be honest, the enemy lies a lot about our past. He'll bring it up. And just when you think it's gone, somebody else will bring it up. Somebody you weren't even expecting. They'll call people and ask them about you. Hey, you know what I heard? Yeah. You're really on your game. That was 30 years ago. Glad you stay up to date there. You really on your game. It doesn't matter, Sam. Because in redemption, we have been redeemed from our past sins. Do you got a few minutes for me to keep going? So we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So how much are you forgiven? It is according to the riches of his grace. Let me say that again. How well have you been forgiven? Well, it's according to the riches of his grace. It's in him, through his blood, and according to the riches of his grace. Now you try to describe to me how wide, how deep, how high, how far is the love of Christ. We sang about it at the beginning of service. You try to explain that to me, and when you can quantify how wide it is and how high it is and how deep it is, then I'll understand the riches of his grace. But I'm here to tell you, it's so deep, we'll never get to the end of it. It's so high, we'll never climb up to it. It's so wide, we'll never get around it. That's the grace of God. And I'm here to tell you, that God forgave you for every sin you ever committed.
Do you feel lighter? You should.
Because he's the one, he's paying. He's paying for your freedom.
We are free from the guilt of sin. Watch this. Ephesians 1, 5, and 6. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children. No, my bad. Keep going, Shane. Ephesians 1, 13. Watch this. 1 and 13. I didn't read that one. In whom ye also trusted after that ye learned, that ye heard the word of truth. You heard the word of truth and you trusted it. You heard the word of truth and you trusted it. You know why you read this Bible? Because the Bible says in these words you think you have eternal life. Amen? Do you trust God's word? I do. I've got everything riding on it. Everything. Everything. I mean everything is riding on the truth of God's word. I trust it. Watch what it says. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. All right, next verse. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Unto what?
I hate to say all this, but it all ends in praise. Every bit of it. So if you don't like to worship, maybe Christianity for you.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, every bit of it leads to worship and glory and praise to Him. Every bit of it. When we get to heaven, if you don't like places where people are, it's going to be miserable for you. But if you like a place where people are glorifying the Savior that saved your soul, then you're going to be in a good place. Watch this. He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. All right, come back, Tracy. Stand up. I done bought you. I done redeemed you. You are forgiven for past sins. Okay. I won't sit down no more. I won't do no more. He's purchased you. Your past sins are forgiven you. You have been redeemed. What is this future redemption? Did you catch that? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Who's the purchased possession? You are. I done paid you for Him. I've done paid the price for Him. He's the purchased possession. Watch this. You know what God does? He puts down a down payment after He's bought you. What's that all about? Glad you asked, because that's why I'm here to teach you this. I've already paid for you, but watch this. Which is the earnest. Anybody know what earnest means? That's a down payment. But I've already gave the down payment, right? You're already forgiven for your past sins. This is different. This is not for what happened in the past, but this is, oh man, this is so good. This is not for what you did in the past, but there's something coming. So I'm going to put a down payment on this. And it's the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Unto the praise of His glory. I'm done. So here's, how can I say this? It's not just about being forgiven of your past. It's about understanding what the Spirit is doing through you now and taking you to in the future. He didn't just bring him out of Egypt to bring him out of Egypt. He brought him out of Egypt to take him into the promised land. He just didn't forgive all of your past sins to forgive you. He forgave you so that He could put down a down payment, which is the Spirit that seals you until He gets the end of the purchased possession. So how does this help you? I'm going to tell you how it helps you. Your past is forgiven. Your future is secure. No. Let me say that again. Your past is forgiven, but your future is secure. You don't have to sit and worry and fret about what's coming. He's already put the down payment on the purchased possession. You win, man. You win through Him. You win according to His riches. You win according to His blood. You win because of the finished work of Calvary. You win because of Jesus. Your past is forgiven. Your future is secure. All you got to do is make sure He gets the praise and the glory that He deserves. That's it. Is this making sense? Which is the earnest of our inheritance of the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit abiding in you, right? If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit abiding. That means you have a new nature, right? If you don't have that new nature, are you saved? No. Why do you say that? Because if you don't have a new nature, you have the old nature. And the only way to be born again is to have a new nature. And He said, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Let me say it like this. Kevin, if a person tells me that they are in relationship with Jesus and there's no change in their life, they're not in relationship with the right Jesus. Well, preacher, I tell you, I love Jesus, but I still do all this stuff. There's no change in you at all? No, not really, but I love Jesus. You can't love Jesus without there being a change. Ephesians 4 and 30. Here's another verse. Ephesians 4 and 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So there's a future redemption. I'm redeemed from the past, and I stand redeemed. I'm redeemed from yesterday's sin. I stand in present right standing with God, and I'm headed to the right place. Redemption, redemption, redemption. I'm redeemed. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Why would he throw this in there? Because you know what we've been taught all these years, Randy, is grieving the Holy Spirit means when the Spirit lays on your heart to go pray for somebody and you don't go pray for them, you grieve the Spirit. That's what we've been taught, right? Don't grieve the Spirit. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. You are sealed. Is this in your Bible? I was teaching this one time, and there was a lady sitting in a congregation, and she got so aggravated at me, she raised her hand, and she said, honey, you can break a seal. I was like, maybe on a mason jar, but not the hand of God. You may be able to break a seal on a mason jar, but you're not going to break this seal. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, he's there. You're sealed. You're sealed until he gets the purchased possession. What is the purchased possession? I'm glad you asked. It's in Romans chapter 8. We there, Shane? And 23, and then I'm done. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Anybody say amen to that? Yeah, preacher, every time I get out of bed. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, what's that say? The redemption of our body. Here's the problem. Your spirit has been redeemed. Forgiven, washed clean. The problem is you have this treasure in and it's in an earthen vessel. Now he purchased you. He purchased you. And we're waiting for the complete adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. What do you mean by that? That means he's paid the price that eventually he's going to take what is his, and this is so great. Because nothing will have any bearing on you whatsoever after this redemption. What do you mean by that? Cancer won't harm you. No pain will hurt you. There will be nothing come your way, because at that point, it's full circle. Right now, I'm redeemed in my spirit. My soul is saved. My body is still a work in progress. Can you say amen? But here's what God does. He don't just purchase you partially. And this is what's really cool. He buys your body, and you know what he does with it? He gives you a what kind? A new one. He gives you a glorified body. This didn't used to excite me as much as it does now. Old people used to talk about this. I was like, now I'm kind of like, that's going to be pretty awesome. Come on, somebody say amen. Les, it's going to be awesome to have a glorified body, ain't it? Why would he have to give us a glorified body? Because I'm going to tell you this, body that we have will never be able to deal with the glory that we're going to partake of in the heavenly realm. So it's full circle. So when we get there, soul redeemed, spirit redeemed, body redeemed, it's going to be awesome. Until then, understand this. Your spirit is redeemed. Forgiven. Now here I stand. What am I going to do with this? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with this. I'm going to remember, and I'm going to bring it to the praise of the grace of God. That's the beauty of this. He didn't. Come on, musicians. Johnny, he didn't save me to come in and say, I'm redeemed. Oh, well, glad. He didn't forgive me from my past sins so that I could walk around with a better view of myself. The purpose of redemption is ownership. Jesus owns you. Are you okay with that? Are you all right with him owning you? I mean, I thought maybe more like cohabitation. Like maybe we could talk things out and he'd work them all out for my good. And no, he redeemed you. And he bought you for a purpose. If you're not fulfilling the purpose he bought you for, man, it's time to wake up. Paul would say things like, I'm a bondservant of Christ. Well, I tell you right now, buddy, I ain't nobody's servant. Herein is your problem. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. He will. He will. Because we're talking about a God that can break you. We've somehow made him this little sissified Jesus that just accepts everything that the world is doing and is going to let everybody. He's not. He's not that. He paid a ransom. He paid the price. And he saved you. Now that you're saved, he owns you. Now that he owns you, I promise you, he'll take care of you. Whew. I'm redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say it right now. See how good it feels. I'm redeemed. I didn't know that word was so cool till tonight. I didn't know what it meant. He bought me and forgave me for the past, and now I'm standing in right standing with him, and there's future blessing involved as well. Man, I'm in a good spot. Redemption's a good spot to be in, ain't it? That's the problem with us sometimes, though. We want God to forgive us of our yesterday, but we don't want to give him our tomorrow. God, would you please forgive me? I did it again, Lord. Forgive me. Would you forgive me for what I did? Instead of saying, God, I'm giving this to you, and I'm going to walk in victory because I'm walking in redemption. I'm walking from it to it. Amen. Amen. Man, I hope this meant as much to you as it did me. Because now I want to motivate our worship. Every time there's a chance to worship, and they sing songs about how wide and like, this really ain't my kind of music, really. What are you talking about, your kind of music? Excuse me for a minute. They're talking about the love of Jesus. And that's what bought me. That's what redeemed me. That's my kind of music. Tracy turns it over that Southern gospel stuff sometimes. There's even a couple good songs on there that you can listen to. Oh, come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of them are cheesy as all get out. Some of them you're like, how in the world did they get this on the radio? We used to listen to songs, the devil's in the phone booth dialing 911. What in the world was we singing about? Man, I don't care what the speed is. I don't care how exactly. I want to know if the words are telling me about Jesus. So I'm going to tell you right now, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Right now as they sing, I want to challenge you. If you're redeemed, you can stand up and worship tonight on a Wednesday night, halfway through your week. Hump day, you've almost made it. right here in the middle of the week, could you take a minute? Just say, I'm redeemed. I really am redeemed. We have redemption. I have it now. If the devil's lying to you, tell him to stop lying to you. Go ahead, Aaron. Sing this song as we worship. If you're thankful for redemption, would you take a moment? Would you take a moment and turn that to the praise, to the glory of His grace? That's what He's asking you for.